Okay, the book of Ruth. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 13 in chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 to 13. However, before we read that, put a marker there in your Bible and then turn with me to Luke chapter 15. I want to read some verses here in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, I want to read verses 11 to 23. All right, so keep those two places, Ruth chapter 1 and Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, beginning with verse number 11 down through verse number 23. Here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son. And I want to read this, and I want you to keep this in the back of your mind as we're going to be alluding to it this evening during the message. Luke chapter 15, verse 11, it says, "And a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me.' And he divided unto them his living. Now many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and so joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son.' But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost, but is found. And they began to be merry." Now let's flip over to Ruth chapter 1. Years ago, I heard a preacher, I believe it was when I was in Bible college, a preacher make this statement, and it stuck in my mind, and I've never forgotten it. He said, if there was ever a time in your Christian life that you were closer to the Lord than you are right now, then you are backslidden and need to get right with God. And that's a troubling thought, and I realize that, you know, every day we kind of fluctuate, and we are a little bit up and down, and, you know, you can say, well, you know, yesterday I was a little bit closer to the Lord. But, you know, there's a lot of reality in that, if you stop and think about that. If there was ever a time when you're closer to the Lord than you are right now, then you need to get right with God and draw closer to the Lord like you were before. And this evening, as we look at this story of Ruth and Naomi and Naomi's family, particularly this evening, Elimelech and Naomi and their two sons left Bethlehem in Israel for at least 10 years. And they went and sojourned in the land of Moab during a famine. Now, you look at our map again here, and just as a reminder, so you know where we're at. The map of Israel, they lived in Bethlehem. Moab was over here on the southern eastern side of the Dead Sea. They probably traveled the southern route and came into the lower part of Moab. It's possible they went over the top, but it seems more likely they probably went over to the bottom. But they came over in Moab and spent at least 10 years in Moab. And this was Elimelech and Naomi and her two sons. And they lived there in that pagan land of Moab. Moab was one of the descendants of Lot. They were enemies of Israel. And not a good place. It was a pagan land. And it appears that they were a prodigal family, running away from God and seeking a better life in the pagan land. And Naomi is now a fatherless widow. Her husband, Elimelech, and her two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, are all dead. And she's left by herself as a widow. And her two daughter-in-laws live with her. In those days, the culture was such that in their tents and in their houses even, there was often a place for the women and a place for the men, a little bit more segregated than we are used to in our culture. And it is very likely that their families were still abiding in the same house. Not a very good setting, I wouldn't think. It's much wiser to leave home and not only just leave and start your own family, but also have your own residence. It's too hard on a family, a young couple, to be living, you know, in the other side of the house of mom and dad. Difficult situation. But that was often their culture. And it could be that in this situation, Naomi and Orpah and Ruth began to, during those years when their sons were married and still alive, they began to develop a relationship and a friendship and a bond. And thus, when the situation comes to where we're at here this evening, as we look at the passage, we find that Naomi has come to the place where she's decided to return home. And the girls want to go with her. And that's where we're at this evening. As we look at this, Naomi's situation was not a good situation. And a difficult situation. And we find that she takes five actions here in order for her to get right with God. I can't say for positive that Naomi and Elimelech were running away from God, but there's lots of evidence that it seems that way. Nobody else that we know of, or at least no one that's mentioned, made the same choice during that famine. Other relatives that stayed in Bethlehem survived the famine just fine, like Boaz. And when they left, they obviously sold everything they had. Because when Naomi came back, they had to have a redeemer buy back the property that they had sold. And that was the custom of the Jews. If you had, for one reason or another, you were in debt or whatever the case may be, you would sell your property. And someday when someone could redeem you, they would pay the debt and redeem the land back to you. And that's the situation they came into. And so, as we look at this evening, I want us to notice these five actions that she took in order to get right with God. And they are the same kind of things that we need to do when we start drifting away from God, even if it's only a step away from God. You know, maybe you're doing pretty good, but you know that, you know, last week you had a really good walk with God, and it's kind of cooled off a little bit since then. Well, we need to get it revived, whether it's just a couple of steps away from God or whether it's a long way away from God, whatever the case may be. And we can learn much from Naomi's actions here. Levi, would you shut that door over so I don't have to compete so much with the birds, please? Thank you. The first action that she took was to remember her former walk with God. We see in verse number 6. Verse number 6 says, "Then she arose," it's talking to Naomi, "then Naomi arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." The Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. And she had heard about that, and she says, "I want to go back home. I want to go back to the house of bread. I want to go back to where my family was, and I want to return back to the place of God's calling for us." Now, she had heard this good news. Now, they had been there in Moab for at least 10 years. We see that down in verse number 4. It says there that the boys took wives with them of the women of Moab. Name one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth, and they dwelt there about 10 years. Now, whether that was 10 years after they got married or 10 years altogether from the time they left Bethlehem is uncertain, but we do know that they were in Moab at least 10 years. The famine very likely did not last that long. Seldom would their famines be that long, and if it was, it would be more noted in history as a very extensive famine. There, you have a famine that lasts for 10 years, and it's going to pretty much wipe a country out in many ways. So it's unlikely that the famine lasted that long, but they stayed there, and we looked at that last time as we dug into that, of how they dwelt in the land, and they stayed there longer than they should have stayed. And the famine had caused Naomi and her family to want to leave home, to walk away from God, and to go to this pagan land and live there in Moab. You know, it reminds us of the prodigal son. He wanted to get away and have a good time. He wanted life to be better than it was at home. And that's really what they were after here. They were going through a difficult time. Maybe they were having financial difficulties. Maybe they, Elimelech said, you know, if we would just sell up what we got here, we can go to Moab. Things are good over there. There's not a famine over there. We can start over. We can have a good settling in. The boys can grow up. And it'll be much better for us if we go over there. And financially, it perhaps was on the surface. But spiritually, it was definitely a step in the wrong direction. And often the devil will make us believe that, you know, if I just went this way, it'll be so much better, and I'd have all this, and I'd have that, and oh, it'd be nice, and I could have that fun, and the devil only tells us half the story. He doesn't tell us the whole story. And we can get away from God, and it leads us in the wrong direction. And Naomi here remembered the life that she had once enjoyed there. You know, her troubles and heartaches brought her to her senses. And instead of focusing on the prosperity during the famine, she remembered Bethlehem. Remember we said that Bethlehem means the house of bread. It had been a good place to live. It had been a place of prosperity. It had been a place where they prospered. And Elimelech and Naomi had established a family, and they had their two boys, and things were going well for them. And then the famine came, and they ran into problems, and they ran away from that, and it appears they ran away from God as well. And you know, that prodigal son left home looking for a better life. And when the prodigal son ended up the journey that he was on, where did he end up? He ended up in the pig pen. And it was not a pleasant time for him. A Jewish boy feeding the pigs. And his mind returned to his father's house back home. And we read those verses there in Luke 15, verse 19 and 20, 17 and 19. It says, "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, but I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.'" He came to the place where he said, "I need to go back. I need to go back to where I came from. I need to remember what it was like. You know, life there with Dad wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was." And Naomi was probably thinking the same thing. You know, life wasn't as bad back there as we pictured it would be. And we've heard word that our families are doing okay back there. And we've come here and look at what has happened to us. Everything has gone wrong. God's hand has been upon us. And things went drastically wrong. And when this prodigal woman ended up a childless widow, she longed to return back home to the land of God's promise. The promised land for them. J. Vernon McGee reminds us that the prodigal son will never be happy in the pig pen. And you know, that is true. If you know Jesus Christ, your Savior, and you walk away from God, and you drift away from Him, whether it's one step or a long way, you drift away from God, you will never be happy outside of the perfect will of God. That is what God intended. You know, we can never be happy in the pig pen. It's never a good place for us. It's never a happy place. And, you know, the devil may make it look like it's going to be great, but it never is. The devil's deceitful. Now, the second action that Naomi took was to recognize her error in departing. To recognize her error in departing. She saw and knew that she had gone out full. And, you know, we're going to jump ahead just a little bit and look at verse number 20. Verse number 20. "And Naomi said unto them, 'Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty.'" Now, Naomi recognized that she went out full. She had much when they left Bethlehem. She had a husband. She had two sons that were just growing up, and they had a good family relationship. They had much, and they sold their property, and they had money in their bag, and they were doing fine, and they got to Moab, and things settled down, and financially it looked like it was going to be a good move. But then God dealt bitterly with them because of their waywardness. She had left with much, and now she returns with little. In her own words, she says, "I went out full. I went out full." And the prodigal son, when he left home full. You remember the story we just read? He left with the bags of money that he got for his inheritance. Everything the dad had that was going to be his was in his bag now. And he left full. And he went out and he had a good time within this world. And he spent his money on riotous living. Wasted his inheritance. Both the prodigal son and the prodigal family enjoyed life while the bags were full. But the bags eventually ran out. And it appears now that Naomi is a beggarly widow with nothing. And brokenhearted, she's lost her husband, lost her boys, lost her fortune. And says, I need to go back home. I need to go back home. Not only did she know that she went out full, but she also knew that she's going back empty. She says there in those verses that the Almighty had dealt very bitterly with me. And that He has brought me home again empty. Empty. She's now returning to Bethlehem with nothing. You know, there's a big cavern between full and empty. She was full when she left. She had everything she wanted. Everything she could dream of. And when she returned, she came back empty, pauper, beggarly, and a widow, childless. She lost it all. It was gone. She had nothing. The prodigal son also came back empty. He had squandered his riches. He'd spoiled his morals. His clothes were now rags. His pockets were empty. His stomach ached with hunger. And he had to admit, he had made a big error. It was wrong. And he was willing to humble himself before his father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against thee. And he recognized the error of his way. And Naomi here sees the error of her way and she's determined to go back to God. We can never get right with God until we're willing to admit our wrong. You know, that is important for us to grasp. We'll never get right with God until we're willing to admit our wrong. And it doesn't make any difference whether we've done something major or something minor. We've still got to admit that we were wrong in order for us to get it right, because it'll never get right until we've admitted our guilt. And running away from God is a terrible error. But thank God that when you come back home empty, the Father will be waiting for you with open arms. Wonderful story there, the prodigal son. As he comes over the hill and he sees Dad down there, and Dad's looking for him. And Dad sees him and says, that's my boy. How would you recognize him? Who knows? Shaggy and skinny and rags. But he says, that's my boy. I know it is. It's my boy. And he ran to him with his arms open. And he welcomed him home. And he dressed him back in decent clothes. And he put on a feast for him because he wanted him home. And you know, that's the way God treats us. We've gone astray. We've got off the path. God wants us to come back. He welcomes us back. And oh, the devil wants us to think, oh, you know, God won't take you back. Look what you've done. You've made such a mess of things. God will never take you back. He'll never forgive you. Those are lies. The devil's lying to us. God wants us to come back, and He welcomes us back. Brokenhearted, yes, but welcomes us back and forgives us. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we find, first of all, that the first action that Naomi took was to remember her former walk. The second action was to recognize her error in departing. The third action Naomi took was to repent in her heart. Deep down in her heart, she repented and said, you know, I've been wrong. I've got to make a change. Repentance is a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change that takes place deep down inside. And we don't know why she had remained there so long in Moab. We can only guess. She may have remained there until her husband died and then thought, maybe I should go back. But the boys were just at that age where they had made a lot of friends and were thinking about maybe getting married and, oh, well, maybe I better stay. And so she stayed a little longer and the boys get married and they settling in and things are going well for them and they got a little, they're making some money on their occupations that they're doing and things are going pretty well and then the boys die. And now God's taken out all the excuses now. Her husband's gone, her sons are gone. She's got nothing left. She's lost everything. She's a widow, a beggar, with nothing. And she says, I've got to go back. It took that to get her to repent. You know, sometimes God allows hardships to come into our lives to get us to repent. To get us broken so that we'll say, I was wrong, God. I've got to come back to you. We find that this brought change to her heart. She longed now to return home. She longed to go back to Bethlehem. You know, true repentance is always a change of heart that loathes the ways of sin and longs for the way of right. It loathes it. It hates the way of sin. But it wants the way of righteousness. You know, sometimes people make a profession of salvation. And you watch their life and nothing happens. And before long, they drift off and wander off and they never want to talk about it again. And you think, what happened to them? You know, did they not get saved? What happened? You know, and we're not the judge and we can't see their heart. But I'm fearful that many times there's never been really genuine repentance where they truly loathe their sin and long for a change. They just want a free trip to heaven. They want to get out of their problem. They want, you know, God's mercy or whatever the case may be, but there's no genuine repentance in saying, I can't stand my sinfulness. I need a new life. Repentance is important. It's a key. For the prodigal son, repentance took place when he came to himself. It says he came to himself. He finally got his head together. He said, listen, I'm being foolish. I've been a fool. I walked away from Dad. I walked away from the home. I wasted all Dad's money. I've been a fool. I've been wrong. And he came to himself and he said, I know what I'll do. As hard as it is, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell Dad I was a fool and I'm sorry. And ask him to forgive me and make me one of his servants. If I could just be a servant in Dad's house, I'd be far better off than feeding the pigs. And he determined in his heart through repentance to go back. If we get away from God, we too need to repent in our hearts, have a change of mind that turns us around and heads us in the right direction. You remember the dedication of the temple? Solomon had built this magnificent temple. Solomon had a long prayer. And after his long prayer, then God spoke to them. And in God's words to Solomon and the children of Israel in those days, in 2 Chronicles 7, a verse that is very familiar to our ears, in verse number 14, it says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God said, you turn back to me and I'll bless you. And God has promised that to us as well, that if we'll turn back to Him, come to Him, humble ourselves before Him, God will bless us. And so that's what we need to do. So we see that her third action was to repent in her heart. The fourth action that Naomi took was to retrace her steps. To retrace her steps. We read in verse number 7. Verse number 7. Wherefore, she went forth of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her. And they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And you can imagine, as they left Moab and they traveled down to the border. And it appears that the girls probably went with her as far as the border of Moab. And they get to the border of Moab and now it's a matter of just crossing the border, going over into Israel. And she's on her way home, back into her homeland again. And she has a talk with the girls at the border. And we find there that in verse number 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to your mother's house. And the Lord deal kindly with you as he dealt with the dead as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her mother, of her husband. Then she kissed them and lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. And if I say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should bear also sons, would ye tarry for them till they be grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. So she encourages them to go back home. She's headed home. She's retracing her steps. She's back to the border of Moab and Israel. And she's encouraging them now to go back to their mother's house. You know, probably to say go back to your mother's house rather than their father's house. Some speculate that maybe their fathers were dead. Probably not. It was probably more of the same situation. They, in the culture there, they would often live in the house with their mother. And so probably go back to the mother's house. And being there, they would be once again known as eligible widows that could remarry and find a husband and carry on with life and continue on. Whereas if they went to Israel with her, she says, I don't have any way of having I don't have any husband. Even if I did have a husband, you're going to wait around for 20 years for my boys to grow up so you can marry them again? That's not going to work. It's never going to work. You might as well go back home and remarry and settle down. And so Naomi's trying to encourage them to go back to them. But she returned to Bethlehem, the house of bread. Naomi continued to retrace her steps, and she continues on to Bethlehem, where she found herself back home once again. And the prodigal son, you know, he repented in his heart, and when he did, it led him to trudge over the long, hot, dry, dusty road toward home. Not an easy trail to follow. You know, perhaps you've traveled that path before. You've gotten away from the Lord and you've had to go back and follow that somewhat fearful trail back home, wondering what was going to happen. And we think all the wrong things of God. Oh, God's going to be so mad at me and He's not going to take me back and He's never going to forgive me. And oh, I failed Him so much and what's going to happen? And you know, the devil puts all these thoughts in our mind. But they're all lies, because what happens? As soon as the Father sees us, He opens His arms and welcomes us back because we're returning to Him. That is exactly what God wants us to do. And as I said at the beginning, whether we've taken one step away from God, or we've walked a kilometer away from God, or we've walked a lifetime away from God, we need to get back with God and do what God wants us to do so that God can welcome us back and forgive us. We must remember that God is our rock. God is our rock. What's it mean when it says that God is our rock? Well, He's a God that never moves. He is always the same. He is always there. God never moves. He never varies. He never changes. He's always the same. Any times that we are not as close to God as we once were, it's not God that moved. It's us that moved. God doesn't move. And we need to go back to God. You know, the Father will never come down to the pig pen to live with us. We must leave the pig pen and go back to the Father's house. Never works the other way around. We've got to go back to God. And it's a hard journey. It's a fearful journey sometimes. The devil tells us all kinds of lies. But it's the right thing to do, to go back to God. And then the fifth action that Naomi takes is that she renewed her walk with God. We don't see this super clearly in the scriptures, but there are several things that certainly strongly hint at it. We see in verses 8 and 9 that she refers to the Lord dealing kindly with you, and the Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in your house of your father. of her husband. So she's speaking of the Lord to them. And talking of the Lord to them and how God's going to take care of them and God's going to meet their need. It's like she's back in, getting back in fellowship with God. She's lived in that pagan land for a long time, and yet these girls understood who Jehovah was. It wasn't like Naomi's family had totally abandoned everything about God. These girls knew. They were aware of that. And we find that Ruth actually adopts it as her own. Jared, would you just touch the button, please? It's getting hot in here. And she now wishes them God's blessing, and she came again to the promised land. You know, once again, her heart seems to be in tune with the Lord. She's back where she belongs, back where God wants her to be. And when the prodigal son returned to the father, it was a mended relationship. That relationship that had been severed and broken is now mended again. And that's what God wants from every one of us. If you stepped out of God's close fellowship, God wants you to step back in and be mended again. Back into good, sweet fellowship again. Back to that relationship with God that you enjoyed once upon a time. Back to that fellowship with Him where He's sweet to your soul and you enjoy His presence and you have a song in your heart. God wants that from each of us. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. God wants us to come back. And Naomi returned to her walk with God. And we see throughout the book that she seems to have a growing reunion with God throughout the book. And it's a blessing to see her go back to do what is right. Perhaps your heart has secretly run away from God. You know, sometimes we can go through the motions. People think we're doing fine. But deep down inside, we know that we're not doing very fine. And we've secretly run away from God, taken a few steps away from Him, gotten out of His fellowship. And if that be the case, the Lord wants us to do as the prodigal son and the prodigal family and go back to God. You know, it doesn't matter whether we've drifted a long way from God or just taken a few steps. God says, come back. I want you to come back. Draw near Me. Draw near the Lord and He'll draw near to you. That's God's plea. And we need to get right with God. If you're not as close to God as you once were, you need to take the same actions that Naomi took and return to God. And return to that close fellowship with God that you once had. And if you'll do that, the Lord will welcome you back.